How many knows that the Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is? Some of you are still sitting down. How many knows that the Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is?
Liberty.
And so I have felt the Spirit of the Lord here tonight, and I believe that He wants to help us. Can you say amen? Now what I want you to start out by doing is I want you to say amen real loud.
Amen.
All right. I can drown that out with my own voice. Let's try that again. Let's try it one more time. I want everybody to say amen.
Amen.
Oh, that's more like it. Now you do that real good while I'm preaching and I won't preach long. If you sit there real quiet, I'm going to preach till, well, this sister over here said I could preach till 2 o'clock in the morning if I wanted to. And so you figure out how long you want to sit there. Is that fair enough? Again, we're so thankful to be here. It's been wonderful to be with Brother and Sister Hurst. And we're just glad for Brother Brian, proud of him, his wife. And it, again, kind of makes me, I got tickled. I got tickled a while ago, Sister just there, I think it is. And I got so tickled at her. And thinking Brother Micah was a prophet. Before she gets mixed up and think I'm one. Brother Brian, when Brother Hurst had called me and asked me to come preach a revival and told me that it would include this service, it was Brother Brian tried to call me a couple of times and I missed him or didn't. I don't know what the problem was. But anyway, I finally called him back. And he was giving me a rundown on the service, trying to kind of tell me. He told me, Sister, wherever you're at, he told me what the theme was. And back then, but what was funny, as we was talking, he was telling me we was going to talk about a real encounter. That's what he wanted the service to be around tonight. While he's talking to me, he said, in the middle of our conversation, he said, "Are you all right?" And I was on the other end. I thought, well, yeah, I'm fine as far as I know. And I said, yeah, I'm fine. He said, oh, I'm not talking to you. He said, I'm standing in the delivery room with my wife. I said, then hang up the phone and pay attention. But we got here. It looks like everything turns out all right. He was about to have a real encounter. He just didn't know it. You don't mess with women in that state. Amen. He didn't realize what kind of encounter he was about to have. Amen. Immediately when Brother Brian told me what he was, this was themed, the Lord spoke to me on the phone before I ever got off the phone. I knew what the Lord wanted me to say. And I'm not trying to act super spiritual. I wished it happened like that to me all the time, but it doesn't. But I do know tonight. So let's get in the Word of God. What do you say? Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. You're going to think, when I get started, you're going to think, man, that's so obvious. And yes, it is so obvious. But I feel like the Lord had gave me this message long before that. I know He had. And so I want to preach to you tonight. Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 10. And Jacob went from Beersheba and went forward toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of the God ascending and descending on it. And then I want to skip to verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Genesis chapter 32, Genesis chapter 32, just flip over a few pages if you have your Bible. Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 24. Very familiar. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, there's a lot more to that than we read in it. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob answered him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Would you stretch your hand one more time this way and ask the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord, I thank you, I praise you, I glorify you for what's already been done in this service. But right now, God, I'm asking you for that special touch from heaven. We've come together from all of these different places. Lord, we've drove lots of miles. Many sacrifices has been made to come to this place. And Lord, I know where two or three are gathered in your name, you're going to be there. Now, God, I'm asking you to let the power of the Holy Ghost be poured out on this congregation. Move around these altars. And Lord, the prayer or the request or the thing that Brother Micah said that happened to him, would you let that happen in this service? Would you let somebody look back down the road and say, that was the service where God turned everything around in my life? Would you let it happen in Jesus' wonderful name? And everyone said together, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for honoring the word of God. We're certainly thankful for all of the other preacher brethren that are in the house. Forgive me for not calling names tonight so I would miss someone, and I don't want to do that, but we're so thankful that you are here. But this is a young people's service. Amen. And although my hair is turning gray and I don't jump near as high as I used to, I still think I'm young. And so I try to act like it as much as I can within reason. I want to preach to you tonight, if the Lord would help me for a little bit, on searching for Peniel. Searching for Peniel. Peniel simply means a face-to-face encounter with God. That's what it means. A face-to-face encounter with God. Everybody here that knows much about the Bible and has been a churchgoer and went to Sunday school much knows the story of Jacob and Esau from just a little child. You heard that story. You knew that story. It was taught to you in class. The preachers preached on it. These scriptures that I'm preaching to you tonight, many of us have heard them preached from many times, and there's probably not very many places that you could turn in the Bible and preach that most of us haven't heard a sermon from at one time or another. Can you say amen? But this is a new place and a new congregation, and we need another move of God tonight. Amen. There's been times there's people sitting all over this building, as Brother Micah said so well a while ago, that can point back at a certain place and a certain time in their life and say, this is where it happened to me. Maybe they were one of those people that was like the sister was testifying. Maybe you were one of those people that was in and out and in and out and up and down, and nobody ever counted on you and nobody could count on you. But then all of a sudden, at a service somewhere, at a camp meeting, at a youth camp, at a fellowship meeting, at just a regular church service, something transpired in your life that changed everything about you. Jacob here, this first part of this that I read, Jacob has left home. He's running from his brother. He ought to have been running from his brother. And his brother kind of had about every right to get mad. I didn't say he had the right to get mad enough to kill him. He just had enough right to get mad because they'd pulled a slick one on him. And Jacob is running for his life. Running for his life. He has nothing in his mind. He is not going out trying to have some sort of spiritual experience. He's not on a spiritual pilgrimage anywhere. He's simply running for his life, trying to get away from his brother who's mad enough to kill him. And he goes and he lays down and he goes to sleep. And all of a sudden he has a dream or a vision. And he sees this ladder. And all of a sudden angels are going up and down. And he sees this great vision going on. And he can't believe what's happening to him. I'm telling you what. When he wakes up, the Bible says, whoa. He looked around and he said, the Lord was here. And I didn't know anything about it. God was here. Now I want to talk to you about this just a minute. Jacob at that point has a surprise encounter with God. He was not thinking about it. He had not been fasting and praying. He had not been prepping himself. He had not been getting himself ready to have one. But all of a sudden he had a surprise encounter with God. And it blowed his eyes open. And it caused him to get emotional. Oh God, I hope I can preach to you tonight. He gets so emotional that he builds an altar. And he takes these stones that he laid his head on. And he built an altar and he poured oil over the top of it and said, boys, I had a religious experience right here. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But here was the problem with this surprise encounter. When Jacob walked away from that surprise encounter with God, he was still Jacob. He still had the same problems. He was still doing the same things. He was not any different than he had been. I come to tell you, there's a lot of young people sitting under the sound of my voice tonight. You have had a lot of surprise encounters with God. You've done kind of like Brother Micah said a while ago. You went to youth camp and you went there to play. And he said he went there to play ball and see the girls. And it makes me happy that they're going to look at the girls today. I enjoy that. Hallelujah, that's what they're wanting to do. Amen. That don't bother me at all. Just don't go look at the boys. But anyhow, hallelujah, I'm not going to preach on that. But I am going to tell you this. Listen to me. We went there and things got to going. And emotions got to rolling. And people, our friends, got to praying. And all of a sudden something grabbed our heart that we didn't expect to happen in that place. Tears began to flow down our face. We went to the altar and everybody else was having a spiritual experience. And we had an experience. I'm not saying we did not have one. I'm not saying we did not have an encounter with God. I'm just saying it did not have the effect on us that it should have had. Somebody ought to say amen. Because when we went home, we was the same person. You see, we know this happened to Jacob because Jacob heads out and goes down to Laban's house. The bad thing about Jacob going to Laban's house is he ran into somebody that was just as sorry as he was. Hello? He ran into somebody that knew some tricks he didn't know. And all the time that he is down there at Laban's house, it is a wrestling match between him and Laban. Who can get the other one the best? Come on now. Bethel is forgotten. Why was Bethel forgotten in his mind at that time? Was it that he didn't really meet with God? No. Was it that Bethel just never really happened and was a figment of his imagination? Absolutely not. What the problem was the experience did not get inside Jacob. It was simply superficial. Can anybody say, I've been there before? Raise your hand. Come on. Let's be honest. I've been there before. I came into the service. I wasn't expecting to have a move of God. But all of a sudden, something happened inside of me. And when it did, I had an encounter with God. I shouted at youth camp, preacher, you're not going to believe it. And for 2 or 3 weeks after I went home, I worshiped the Lord. But you know what? I didn't have any dedication in me. And I didn't have real really any change in me. And I found out when the devil showed up, I really didn't have anything down inside. I had had a surprise encounter with God, but it had not changed me. I came to preach to y'all tonight. What we're needing to have is an encounter with God that changes us from the inside out. We're needing an encounter with God that'll change our character. It'll change the way we think. It'll change the way we walk. It'll change the way we talk. It'll change everything about us. Hey, hey, hey. Bethel was a surprise encounter. Hallelujah. I'm really not interested in those tonight. I've seen those till I'm sick. Huh? You're not the first group of young people I've ever preached to in my life. It's not the first church I've ever had a revival at. I have watched people have one encounter right after another with God and not be changed when they got through. Whew. But now you are going to come to a place, you may not be there tonight, but you're going to come to a place where you're either going to have an encounter with God that is real or life is going to change for you. Jacob realized what I was running from when I had my first experience. I'm about to face it now. Esau is on the other side in the morning. And if I'm going to have a real encounter with God, I'm going to have to go looking for it. The first time it was a surprise, but not this time. This time Jacob sent everybody over there. He said, I got to get out of everybody out of my system. I'll never forget this. I feel like telling this right now. I haven't thought of this in a while. We were preaching youth camp in Pennsylvania several years ago. It's the only time that I ever remember being shouted at in anger while I was preaching by a group. But one night, I got to preaching on some things, and I named a rapper named Notorious B.I.G., and when I did, it really made, and a lot of y'all don't even know who that is, but there was a rapper that had that name, and I was using some things out of his life. He had just recently been killed. And there was some people there that got enraged at me, and they stood up, and they started screaming at me during my preaching. And the next day, I went out in the woods and got down on my knees. Now, I wasn't used to being screamed at while I was preaching. I did not react to them. I just ignored them and went on. But I said, God, tonight, I need something. I need something that'll grab their attention. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me that night, and I'll never forget it. I preached that night on "There's Something Stalking You," and the Holy Ghost fell. And I'm going to tell you what, the fear of God fell in that house. And one of those young women that was a part of that group that the night before had been screaming at me, tears began to run down her face, and she ran down the aisle, and she fell down at the altar. But I'll never forget, Sister Darla's my witness, I'll never forget what she did. She fell down at the altar weeping and crying, and she began to pray. But after about 5 minutes, she turned around and looked back where all of her friends were sitting. And they all went, "That's stupid. That's crazy. There's nothing to that. Come back here." And she shook her head no. And she turned back around weeping and crying. And she prayed again. But about 5 minutes later, she turned around and looked. And they were saying, "Come on, get out of there. Come back here." And she come back around. But the third time when she looked around and they motioned, she got up, walked back, and sat down where they were at. And within 10 minutes was making fun, just like God had never, ever touched her heart. The next year, I went to that youth camp. The preacher come up to me and we was talking. He said, "Do you remember that young lady last year?" I said, "Oh yeah, I'm remembering her name well." He said, I said, is she coming to camp? He said, she can't come. I said, why not? He said, because a few days after camp was over, somebody hit her on her bicycle. He said, she's in a nursing home. Her mind's gone. She don't know who she is. He said, I went to see her this week. Said, saliva just runs out of her mouth and drops off of her chin. And she don't have a mind to even know what her name is. But I was there when God tried to have an encounter with her. But she would not set everybody else aside and have a face-to-face encounter with God. I'll tell you what Jacob did. Jacob said, send everybody over there. I'm going over here by myself, and it doesn't make a difference what anybody thinks. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to have an encounter with God for my own self. I'm going to have a move of God for myself. Hey, 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 hey. There's some things, I don't know about y'all, and I hope, I know we got Bible scholars in the house. I know Brother Baker's back there. He's a good fellow, okay? He's real smart. He's a lot smarter than me. And I know we got a lot of Bible scholars in the house, but listen to me. There's a lot of things, and I hope you don't fall out with me. There's a lot of things that the Bible don't say that I would like to know. Really, that's the truth. I don't need to know them, or the Bible would have said it. Did you get that? But I'd like to know what started this wrestling match. You ever thought about it? You know, I've come to your church several times now, Brother Hurst, and we've never wrestled. Number one, I don't want to be that close to you. And probably the feeling is vice versa. Something happened out there. This was not a figment of his imagination. This was not an hallucination. This was somebody that Jacob could actually get a hold on to. Hallelujah, I feel like preaching now. Hey, he got a hold of this angel. I don't know what started it, as I've already said. I wished I did. But brother, they got in a real rough and tumble. They got a hold of one another. Now Jacob was a country boy. He had been herding cattle. He wasn't just no wimp. You can't make me believe it. I believe, brother, the dust was a flying. I believe the dirt and the mud, hey man, was getting riled up. You know what was happening? Jacob was saying, what I'm really wrestling with is I'm wrestling with who I am. I'm wrestling with who Jacob is. I'm not worried about anybody else in the youth group right now. I'm not worried about so-and-so over there. I'm wrestling with who I am. I'm not happy with where I'm at. I'm not happy with how I am. I'm not happy with who I really am. And I tell you what I need. I need a face-to-face encounter with an almighty God. Woo! I don't know how long they wrestled, but it seemed like it must have been a pretty good while. Oh. Finally, this angel says, look, you've been here all night long. Oh, God. Oh, Lamahasha, Adonamahaya. You know, it wouldn't bother me any. It wouldn't bother me any if some of you were still laying in here at 2 o'clock in the morning. It wouldn't bother me a lick. That can't happen. You ain't been where I've been lately. I preached a revival last year. I remember one night at 12:45, we was getting ready to dismiss service. We had started at 7:30. At 12:45, 95% of the congregation was still in the house. You know why? The power of God had got so real in there. They didn't know what was about to happen next. They thought maybe the next encounter will be mine. Maybe the next wave of glory will bring me face to face with God.
Maybe the next wave of God that comes through here will be the one that'll change me. I come to tell y'all, I felt the Holy Ghost letting me know he is going to come to this house. And if you want to have a face-to-face encounter with God, you can have one. I said you can have an encounter with God.
You got to let me go, boy. The day's breaking. Has anybody ever seen two boxers really get into it? Anybody? Come on, I know you don't want to act like you ever watched anything like that, but let's be honest. And when, especially when it's heavyweight, they can get really wore out before it's over with. And before it's over with, the referees always happen to go, "Break it up." Because they're holding on to one another, trying to stay on their feet. Hallelujah. Jacob's holding on about daylight, trying to stay on his feet. Woo! Hallelujah. And the angel said, "You gotta let me go. Gotta let me go." Hallelujah. The angel has not played fair. Hello? You know, we always is going, "Well, this just isn't fair." Who said it was supposed to be? Somebody give you a guarantee on your birth certificate that life was going to be fair? Didn't come with mine. Didn't come with yours. The angel somewhere in the night, it got a little unfair. Because at some point in that encounter, Brother Micah, he used a little bit of his power on him. And he reached down and smacked him. And when he did, Jacob, he went out of joint there. Man, I'm telling you, if anybody's ever had anything go out of joint, it's excruciating. Nothing fun about it. He wanted to see if Jacob really meant what he said. Can I tell you something else? The Holy Ghost spoke to me here a while back about this scripture, and I felt it would apply here tonight. I'm going to tell you another reason I feel like God did that to Jacob. Because every time Jacob ever got in trouble, he always ran. When his brother got after him, he ran. When his father-in-law got after him, he ran. He was always running. God's trying to catch up, and he's always running. And God said, "You're going to have an encounter, but I'm going to stop you from running." Hey, I come to tell you that there's some young people in this house tonight. You've ran from God, and you've ran from God, and you've ran from the call of God. But I believe the night is the night that God can change things in your life until you have an encounter, and you ain't ever gonna run again. Woo! Somebody raise your hands and worship God.
Hey, 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 hey.
I felt today that the Lord dealt with me about this in prayer. Some of you are running from the will of God, and you don't even know what the will of God is. The devil has got you convinced that God is going to ask something of you. Oh, I felt that today. That God was going to ask something of you that you don't even feel like you're capable of. And so you won't move up as close to God as you need to because you're afraid of what God might say when you get there. All I got to say to you is, if you'll just have a face-to-face encounter with God, the rest of that stuff won't mean anything. I didn't think I was going to say anything about this, and I am. I feel the Holy Ghost telling me to. I I was raised in church. Matter of fact, my first words were not mom and dad. My first words was gory. And I wasn't talking about a horror movie neither. I was talking about glory to God. The first words they said I ever said was gory. Because that's what I went to, the house of God. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, just because you go to the house of God and just because you hear preaching all the time doesn't mean you've had an encounter with God. My God, help me preach. I'd been in more church than most people by the time I was 16, than most people in this church is going to be in their entire life. I'd already went to more church than that, and I haven't had a face-to-face encounter with God. I had something get a hold of me. I was not naturally turned rebellious. That just was not my turn. That just was not me. But when sin gets a hold of you, it changes your nature, even who you may be as a young person. When the devil starts getting a hold of you, it changes who you are. And I got involved. Now, I'm not stupid. I've heard people make dumb remarks and say, well, if God hadn't have saved me, I'd have been down there at Hollywood. Well, you might have been begging on a street corner down there somewhere. Hallelujah. If God hadn't have saved me, I'd be in Nashville. Well, you might have been a bum on Skid Row down there, but that don't mean you'd have been a famous singer. So I don't go around saying things like that. All I will say to you is I had an addiction in my life. It wasn't smoking, never tried that. Wasn't dipping, I didn't try that either. I didn't want that in my mouth. Wasn't drinking, I didn't try that neither. I like to play ball. I did. I still do to a point. But I loved it till it captivated everything about me. Hello? All of me. It caused me to run with the wrong crowd. I remember the day when I walked into the kitchen in my house and some things had failed my direction, and I walked in and I told my mother, I said, I've got a high school coach that he said he's going to train me and get some things ready and get me in at the college, at a junior college, because that was what I would have had to have done, because I wouldn't have had a scholarship or anything, and I would have had to went to a junior college, and he's going to help me. I'll never forget it. My mother, she's something else. She said, oh, God, and she started crying. She fell over the sink. She said, oh, God. And then she looked at me and gritted her teeth and said, I'm going to pray God breaks both of your legs. I said, that's real nice, Mom, thanks. But I'll tell you, I quit driving very fast. And I quit walking over things I might thought fall down to, because I knew she had the power to pray. I remember that was a hold of me. There was a lot of things transpired. Eventually, things even got bad to where my dad put me out of the house. It got rough. That was all that was in my life and my mind. I was captivated by it. I did not say I was good at it. Don't leave here and tell anybody I said that. I just said I was captivated by it. I remember the night that I had an encounter with God. I remember when I knelt down there at the altar to get saved. Brother Micah, I knew this is one of the things that I am going to have to take off of the throne of my heart if God is going to sit there like he needs to. I feel like I'm boring you and I'm fixing to hurry on. But I felt like, listen, I really did. I felt like that night I got willing. God saved me, gloriously saved me. I'd been to Bible school and then I got lost out with God and not while I was at Bible school. Probably wasn't right when I went there. I went there for my dad's sake anyway. But when I got saved, I felt like, and it wasn't just go back to the same class. There was time and went by. I felt like I needed to go back. God just spoke that to me. So I packed up and here I went. I'll never forget it. It was the first day they had some kind of
big old get-together, you know, and we got Bible school students here, and they probably have something like that, kind of a get-to-know-you kind of day, and you kind of play around together, and everybody gets to know one another. But there at the end of it all, Brother Beam, they had a big bonfire outside. And we all gathered around a certain time, and Brother Beam, God bless his soul, he begins to give a little talk to everybody and what he wants to see God do that year and what we need to give up for God. And let's make sure that at the very start there's nothing there that's hindering God from moving in us. And the Holy Ghost fell. All of a sudden, I mean, the power of God fell. We're worshiping God. All of a sudden, people start leaving the fire and walking off. And I'm like, what in the world are they doing? We're not dismissed. Here in a minute, they start coming back to the fire. They're bringing stuff. I don't know why in God's name they brought it, Brother Hurst, to Bible school in the first place. They start throwing stuff in this fire. Man, the power of God starts moving. I've got my hands in the air. I'm praising God and crying and hooping around. I'm having a good old time. One old boy, he come up, throwed a picture of his girlfriend in there. I tell you, I laughed. I said, she must really be a hindrance. Hallelujah. Boy, I said, God, move on them. And God spoke to me. I'll never forget it. Had both hands straight up in the air. The Lord spoke to me and I went, that's crazy. Hello? I thought, that's just me. I've got all tied up in this emotion going on around here. And I raised my hands back up and the Holy Ghost wasn't there no more. And I took my hands back down. And I said, I guess that is God. Huh? I wonder, are you going to know his voice tonight when he picks on your shoulder? Here in just a minute. I remember I went down through the dark. And still, sometimes people, I don't even know who they are that was there, walk up to me and ask me, are you the one? Yeah, I'm the one. Because all of a sudden, I remember my roommate, he said, I'll never forget when you came walking up out of the dark with that basketball palmed in one of your hands walking toward that fire. I remember walking up there, Brother Presley, and I remember standing there and thinking about it. See, you don't know how I liked it. It had just as much as hold of me as some of the things that's got a hold of you all. My God, help me. And I stood there for a long time, Brother Nathan, thinking about that. And then it came to me, I'd rather have a move of God in my life than anything else. I cradled that old basketball up in my arm like that. I reached in my pocket. I took out a pocket knife. I reared back and laid it into the side of that ball and knocked the air out of it and slid it about 4 or 5 inches. And I remember well rearing back and pitching that thing underhanded toward that fire. But I don't remember whether I hit the fire or not, because something hit me in the top of my head, laying me out on the ground. Brother, I never felt anything like that in my God, help me. I never felt anything like that. And laying there on that ground in Pennsylvania, I had a face-to-face encounter with God. God looked me in the face. He said, will you preach? He had never asked to ask me before, and he never had to ask me again. I've had an encounter with God. I said, I'd had an encounter with God. I knew something had happened. Hey, this could be your night when you have an encounter with God that changes your life. Jacob, what is your name? You know what he was really asking him? Who are you? Jacob had to make an admission
of who he really was. He said, I can just see him in my mind's eye. You know, in the Bible, when we read things, we read them like it's just going pow, 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 pow. I don't believe it always happened like that. You can believe what you want to. I believe that Jacob, I believe when that angel, stand up here, Brother Brian, I believe when that angel asked him that it almost knocked his hold loose. God, the one thing I don't want to talk about, I don't want to talk about me. I want strength to face my brother tomorrow, but I don't want to talk about me. I want the power of God to touch me, but I don't want to really talk about who I am inside. My God, help me to preach. I want God to shout me, but I don't want him to look at my character while he's doing it. Woo! But Jacob, who are you? Jacob looked back, and what Jacob was really saying was, I'm a deceiver. I'm dishonest. I'm a low down. I'm dirty. But I tell you what, hey, I feel like you've got the power, and I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm preaching tonight on searching for Peniel, looking for a face-to-face encounter with God that leaves me different in the morning and next week and next year. I'm not going to be the same anymore.
Life's not always fair. Do you realize that? I'm not going to preach much longer. I realize I'm preaching to young people. Life's not always fair. One day about 6 years ago, I was working. I had went home. It's a long story. The Lord had spoke to us. I had preachers tell me I was going crazy and losing my mind. I knew the Lord had spoke to me. I needed to go to the house. I thought it was because my daughter was going to start school. We had talked about that for several years. I was the manager of a pretty large business. And I remember when the phone rang, and Sister Darla said, I've got cancer. I remember sitting down on a stack of shingles that I was standing beside, and I remember bowing my head in front of all those men, and I cried. Hello? Because when you're 32 years old, that's not what you're expecting to hear your wife say to you. Hello? And I'm going to tell y'all, although I had been to a place where I had had a face, you say, Brother Anthony, you had a face-to-face encounter with God, it ought to last you the rest of your life. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. Are you hearing me? And I'm going to tell you what, we got in the middle of that, and Brother Hurst, you may fall out with me and want me to leave, but I got down. I had the weight of running this business on top of me. My wife is sick. Every time we go to the doctor, they tell us worse things. I wasn't sleeping at night. She had been having seizures for 2 years, and the doctor said, he said, if those seizures and that cancer are connected, there ain't nothing I can do for you. She's been having them 2 years. And I'd lay down, and I couldn't go to sleep because I was thinking about raising three babies all by myself. And I got down. I do not want you ever to do this. I'm just telling you something for me. I went to my pastor. I said, Brother Aaron, I want to come to church, but I want to be left alone. I don't want you to ask me to preach. Don't ask me to testify. Don't ask me to sing. I don't feel like trying to help anybody. I can't hardly see my own way.
Some of you may just fell out when we just go ahead. You don't know where I was at. I remember late one spring evening, I was standing down on a bridge way out in the woods. I was standing there hooting like a hoot owl. That don't mean anything to y'all, but there's a few here. I know there's one Okie here that means something too. I was waiting to hear if a gobbler would gobble back at me from the other way. But really, I was there because I was so tore up inside, and I didn't want anybody to see how bad I was tore up. When I looked down this old country road, and for the only time, I'll guarantee you the only time in my mother's life she's ever been down that road, here come my dad and mom driving down this. I'm talking, you don't understand how far in the country I was. I was over close to a place called Sparks. You ever heard of that? I know you have. You raised a lot there. And I remember turning around on that old bridge. And you know, Brother Setcher, I've not always been as spiritual as I should have been. And I remember standing on that bridge that day, and we got to talking, and I'm telling you what, I opened the floodgate and let out what was in my mind. My mother is a very emotional person. Dad, he was tore up that day. He realized what was going on. But Mom said, "Oh God, Anthony, you just can't quit." And I'll never forget standing on that old bridge, and I looked at my mother, and this is what I said. "Mom, I don't understand everything that's going on, and I don't even know if I want to be a part of the ministry anymore. And I don't know whether I just want to maybe just go to church and everybody leave me alone. But I went past the quitting place a long time ago." "I don't feel like I'm running on top of anything right now. Matter of fact, I feel like everything's on top of me. But I had an encounter with God somewhere way back down the road. Even though everything's going wrong in my life, quitting ain't an option. I tell you, there is an encounter with God that you can have, that it don't matter where you get in your life. You'll never turn back. You'll always keep going." Because they was used to me coming to church, and if I wasn't preaching, I'd get up testifying, and I'd try to have something to give them. I wouldn't get up and preach. I'd get up and testify, and I'd sing. And they got to coming to me saying, "What's wrong? Please, what's wrong?" They come to my house. "What is wrong? What's wrong?" I couldn't tell them. I told Brother Aaron, "Don't mess with me, you know." But one night, we went to church. Darla held my arm. We walked in. She had a little hat on her head because she didn't have any hair. And we sat down. And Brother Aaron said, "Darla, will you sing? I'm sorry. And she turned, she was yellow because of that chemo. You know how it turns people. She looked at me and she said, "I'll sing if you'll help me." She knew what I'd said. And I thought to myself, you know, if she's got enough guts, as sick as she is, to get up there and sing, and I'm a man enough to climb up there and help her. And I climbed up on the platform beside her, and she started singing. "There are questions God would love for you to answer. Everybody needs to now and then. When you've reached that place that life's impossible to face, the question is not, do you have a friend? The question is, do you know he's passing by your way? Do you know the pain don't have to stay?" Brother Hurst, all of a sudden, something inside of me busted like a pipe. I
fell down on my knees behind that microphone. My mother told me later, she said, when you hit your knees, every man in that church literally took off running. They was waiting on me to act like I needed a little help. I come to my God, help me. I'll tell you, behind that piano, after I'd preached a lot of messages, after I'd preached Camp Dove, I had another face-to-face encounter with God. Are y'all hearing me? Hey. I tell you what we're needing in this house. We're needing a face-to-face encounter with God. Raise your hands all over the house. You're going to have to come to this altar tonight on purpose. I'm just not going because everybody else is. I tell you why I'm going. I'm going to have a face-to-face encounter with God. I don't care if the rest of my youth group comes. I don't care what they do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset me. I'm a coming to this altar. I'm a coming for one purpose. I'm coming to have a face-to-face encounter with that Almighty God. You know what happened? All of a sudden that angel said, hey, your name ain't going to be Jacob anymore. It's going to be Israel. Is there anybody that would break out of your pew right now, hit this altar, and say, I came to have a name change tonight. I came for God to do something inside of me. I've had a lot of surprise encounters. I've had a lot of moves of God. I shouted at youth camp. I felt better. But tonight I want to have a face-to-face encounter with God.
The question is, do you know your pain won't have to stay?
Hey! We need a bunch of grown-ups up here. Woo! You need to lay your hands on somebody. I believe there's people around this altar right now. They're going to have an encounter with God. It's going to change who they are. It's going to change what they are. They're never going to be the same again. Hey, you're going to have to go searching for denial.
Look beyond your doubt. Can you see him reaching out? The question is, what do you?
I don't know what life may have ahead of you, but I know what God has in store for you. He has a face-to-face encounter. He has an encounter that'll change you. It'll change your character. It'll change how you talk. It'll change how you text. Hey. It'll change where you go. It'll change your friends. Woo! It's an encounter. Somebody ought to thank God.
Do you need from Jesus today? There are questions God would love for you to answer.
My God, I'm telling you. Everybody, I'm telling you, young people, you can have an encounter with God tonight. And you can go past the quitting place. That don't mean you're not going to come to hard places in your life. But when you do, you'll say, you know what? I had a face-to-face encounter with God. And it changed me so much. I've never wanted to go back.
Do you know? He's passing by your way. Won't have to stay. Can you look beyond your doubt? Can you see him reaching out? The question is, What do you need from Jesus today? Oh, the question is, do you know he's passing by your way? Do you know your pain won't have to stay? Can you look beyond your doubt? Can you see him reaching out?
My God, let's let the Holy Ghost sweep across this place. I tell you, he'll make a difference.
Feel the hope for help is slowly fading. Does the push and shove of life just get you down?
What is it that has
all
a hold of you?
Trampled under.
Preacher, I pray and then I go right
all
back to it. Preacher, I pray and then I fall right back in that same trap. I tell you what'll change that. I tell you, a trip to Peniel will change that. A face-to-face encounter with God will change that.
Do you know your pain won't have to stay? Can you look beyond your doubt? Can you see him reaching out?
The question is,
what do you need from Jesus today? The question is, do you know he's passing by your way?
Hey!
Do you know your pain will
God, I'm going somewhere I've never been before!
Can you see him reaching out? Can you see him reaching out? The question is, what do you need from Jesus today? Do you feel the hope for help?
Come on, young folks. Come on, young folks. Come on, grown-ups. Stretch your hand this way and ask God. Oh, it may take some wrestling. It may take some time in this altar. It may take some wrestling with God. But God, I came not to give up. I came to have an encounter with God.
Oh, the question is, do you know he's passing by your way? Do you know your pain won't have to stay? Can you look beyond your doubt? Can you see him reaching out? The question is, what do you need from Jesus today? The question is, do you know he's passing by your way?
Come on, young ladies.
Can you look beyond your doubt?
You struggled long enough.
Can you see him reaching
out? Now it's time to have an encounter with God. I'm going to leave this altar. I'm never going to be the same. I'm going to look back on this night in March. I'm always going to point back to it the rest of my life. And I'm going to say I had an encounter with God that changed everything about me.
Push and shove of life just get you down? And are you trampled underneath all the weight of unbelief? You too can touch his hem and be made whole. The question is, do